Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Got to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord. Apostle Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In today's message, Blessed to Be Dressed, Pastor Joel shares the importance of the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit.
There's a way to be changed. There's a way. You don't have to take it. You can fight. You can fight back. Okay? God will give you a way to take away the urge. Just like a drinker, just like a drug addict, just like a murderer, he can take it away from you if you allow him to. And that's what we have to understand. Amen. Yeah, but don't believe the world, though. The world wants to keep you in it, because who is the prince of the air?
Satan.
The world is in the sway of the devil, 1 John 5:19, remember? We're swaying. Don't be dancing to the devil's tune. Be careful. You have your brain damage. Okay? You ain't taking a punch physically. You weren't even born that way. But you start believing in men and not God. Then you just bought it. That's the difference. I know people don't want to hear that kind of talk, but it's truth. This is the word of God. This is truth. Okay? We can't make our own rules and declare war on God for something we want. Come on now. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make it good. Just because you call evil good doesn't mean that it's good. Mm-hmm. It just means you're good and confused. That's what it means. World's confusing somebody. Look at what the Bible says. Watch this. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, and let's go to verses 5 to 8. The world will confuse you. We know about that. Who's the author of confusion?
Satan.
The Satan. How come every time there's something like that, it goes back to Satan? Let's go to Romans 8, verses 5 to 8.
For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Mm-hmm. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God.
Enmity.
It's enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Amen. That's a powerful, powerful scripture, and this Bible is sort of new, and you know, I haven't broken it in, so I have to look for these things in a different Bible. But surely, that's a powerful scripture, you see. Carnality, what it's saying is carnality is what? It's a death sentence. Did you know that? That's what this boils down to. It says the carnal mind is enmity against God. You know, enmity means hatred against God. And that's what it means, to be carnal. Be carnally minded is what? Death. That's what it says right there in verse 6. So, it's spiritual death. When God told Adam and Eve, remember back in Genesis, he said, once you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Did they drop dead right away?
No.
But it was good as done, wasn't it? We've been dying ever since, haven't we? We've been dying ever since. Disease, babies coming out with all kinds of hearts outside their body, huh? Baby with swollen heads, cleft lips, double genitalia. All of this is the death process of sin, carnality. We weren't made to be that way. We weren't made to age and die. We weren't made to have a high blood pressure or cancer or diabetes, anything else that's in this world. But it's the Bible teaches us. Now, how much more do we have to see or read to understand that we need to line up with God instead of man, okay? We need to follow God instead of being disobedient to God. We need to learn that. How many of our children do we want to see sick? And how many do we want to see killed in the streets and all these different things? Aren't we tired of that? Yeah. We need to just give it up and lay down and give it up to the Lord and do what he says to do. At least even if it happens, then you know you've done all you can do. Yeah. And ain't nothing else to do but look to him and say, Lord, help us, right? Yeah. But we're so hard-headed that sometimes we just want it our way.
Help us, Lord. Oh, yeah.
That's right. You know that's right. We know that's right. Unrepentant sin in the face of God will certainly buy, I'm going to say it, God, people don't want to hear, it'll buy you a one-way ticket to hell. Mm-mm, no return. You die being unrepentant. Unrepentant sin, and only the Lord knows your heart. But if your heart is there, the Bible says your good is gone. Okay? That's biblical. Okay? And that's what we have to look at. That's exactly why the spiritual helmet of salvation is so important to have. Can't you see that? It's important to have the helmet on, okay? It protects your thought processes. The helmet of salvation is for that. Salvation is to protect you, okay? Spiritually, it works in tandem with your mind being stayed on God and being fortified against the lures of the devil. It comes from the helmet of salvation. It's not just a term. We got to get into this spiritual realm. Pastor, do this. Take us to these two scriptures, if you will, please. Proverbs and then Psalms. If you take us to Proverbs 16, verse 2 and 3, and then Psalm 101.3.
Okay, Psalm 101. Mm-hmm. Okay.
These are you to be used in tandem.
Proverbs 101.3.
Okay. Just want to make sure. That sounds like a radio station. But it's Psalm 101.3. Yeah.
So first we'll go to Proverbs 16, 2 and 3. Okay. Proverbs 16, 2 and 3 says, Proverbs 16, 2 and 3 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes.
Are pure in his own eyes.
But the Lord weighs the spirit.
Uh-huh.
Then it says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established.
See that? All of a man's ways are pure in his own eyes. I know I got it right. I know this is the right way to go, because this is what I like. And what I like, I just go for it. And I like to go for it because I'm seldom wrong, and I'm right about this. And I want you to read the Bible. What the Bible said, man, don't worry about that. I know this. My family knew it. My mama knew it. My daddy knew it. My cousin Leroy, he knew it too. I know these things are going on. It's right. It's right for my family. I don't know about yours, but it's right for my family. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord is weighing your spirit. And there you go again. There she goes again. She just know it all. Okay, I'm going to throw this at them and see how they feel about it. And then it says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. The Lord is saying, do what I'm telling you to do. Then you'll learn to think like me. I want you acting on it, and then you'll learn how I want you to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Go to Psalm 101, please. Look at that one.
Psalms 101.3 tells us, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me.
That's the one. Thank you. See, now, you see how that lines up with Proverbs 16.3. Mm-hmm. Commit your works to the Lord. Your thoughts will be established. Set nothing before your eyes. Okay? Don't let it cling to you. Okay? Commit your works to the Lord. And your thoughts are going to, he's going to establish your thoughts. When you start walking toward the Lord, he starts walking toward you. Draw near to the Lord and he will draw nigh to you. When you start doing what the Lord wants you to do, submit to the Lord, then resist the devil, okay? And now he's going to flee from you because you're no longer walking toward him. That's why the Bible doesn't tell you that. He's not longer walking. Now you're walking toward the Lord. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee. He'll flee from you. So all of this is the same thing. Commit your works to the Lord. Your thought life is going to change. When you start doing what the Lord wants you to do, your thoughts are going to change. You're going to say, I feel like doing this. Lord, help me. Don't let me do it, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. And your friends are calling you up saying, come on, y'all, come in. Come on, let's go. Them boys waiting on us. Come on. And you say, Lord, help me. He's going to give you a way out. He's going to come to you. No temptation is overtaking you. It's such as common to man. And God is faithful, right? He's going to come to your aid. He'll allow you a way of escape temptation. But you got to commit your thoughts to the Lord first. But you can commit your thoughts to the Lord if your thoughts are lining up with the devil. That's why you got to put your helmet on, the helmet of salvation, to protect your noggin, to protect the gray matter, that jelly matter in your head, to keep you right. This is what it's saying. The helmet of salvation. Spiritually, you've got to be able to paint a picture. I said we got to get a grease board, because if I could draw a big old brain on here with all the little crevices, I would. And you'll see how it works when you've got your mind set on God. Amen. That helmet is very important. We're seeing that right here that we need to follow God in everything. See, the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. We're in the last of the last days. But I want you to see that the helmet of salvation serves to protect our minds. As another scripture says, think of things above and not below. Yes. All of this is telling us, the Lord tells us there's so many ways how to do this. So it's very important that we do that. Guarding our eyes. Your eyes are in what? Your head. Your ears are in your head. Do you know? If somebody slap you in the ear, you'll be just as dizzy as I don't know what. Do you know that when a bomb goes off and you're far away from it, you know why you fall? The concussion. If something goes off loud in here, I don't want to make the noise.
Don't.
But if something goes off loud in here, boom, you know, really loud, it shakes you up.
Yeah.
It shakes you up and you're dizzy. You can't even, before you know it, you fall. You see people falling down. You see them movies where they throw a hand grenade and you see all these men go in the air, whoa, and they flip over and everything, and then 20 yards down, it's because of that concussion.
Yeah.
Blow your ear out. See people with blood coming out of their ears? Okay, explode your eardrum and things like that. Well, your eyes and your ears, they're fixed in our heads, and that's why we need protection from a helmet.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, now that's the physical. Now let's take it to the spiritual. Your eyes and your head and your ears, what you see is going to affect how you behave. What you let your eyes see is going to affect how you behave. You see the worst things on that TV, it comes out in your spirit. You see the worst thing. If you look at lewd stuff, it's going to come out in your spirit. If you look at naked girls and naked men all the time, you're going to see a man or woman dressed, and you're going to see them naked, because it's going to come out in your spirit one way or the other. If you see yourself as being one way, it's going to come out. You have to be careful what you watch. You have to be careful what you hear. If you hear music about knocking people down or killing people or doing everything else, look at some of these poor misguided terrorists who are spewed by the devil. Listen to the music they listen to. Listen to some heavy metal. No, don't listen to some heavy metal. Just read about it. Let me tell you that. Read about it and see what it's saying. They have interviewed murderers, criminals who have gotten fueled by the music they listen to. This is documented. This is documented. So again, our eyes and ears, they're fixed in our heads, right?
Yes.
And think of the helmet of salvation as a covering for that whole area. Mm. That's why God is so good. We've got to recognize what we allow to come in. We have to be cognizant of what we allow to come into our heads. We have to tell our children. We have to spoon feed them. We have to be in that corner. But I ain't about being your friend. I'm about being your father or your uncle or somebody. Because, see, I can't let you lead me because now I'm too old for that. It's time to get with God. So I'm going to tell you the good things that you're supposed to have in you so that we can pass the baton to our children, right? And that's what we have to do. I hear a lot of times, I hear Christians use the term the eye gate and the ear gate and how we're supposed to guard them, all right? The helmet protects the area, if you will, that area, okay? And if we will wear it in battle, that means at all times we're protected.
Yes.
Can you afford to take off your helmet in battle?
No.
Not too often. Maybe to sleep on it when you've got a guard patrolling the outer perimeter. When I was in the military, we went on four on, four off. Six on, four off, armed detail. So we had to guard. I had to walk the perimeter while you all slept. Then I'd go back to sleep and somebody else, and people would take their helmets off and sleep. That type of thing. But normally, you still gotta be able to strap it on because if something goes off, you wanna be protected. So you don't play with that thing. That's why it's so important for us to see that you've got to wear it at all times, okay? Now, so let's move on to the other part. We've spent enough time on it. You know about the helmet?
Yes.
Got it? Got it locked on? Okay, all right. Locked and loaded, that's right, that's right. Now, let's move on to the second half of Ephesians 6:17, which instructs us to what? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is what?
The word of God.
Word of God. Y'all sound like y'all know that one real good. Maybe we'll be out of here early. So we now need to understand the importance of the one and only sword as a weapon.
Oh, yes.
Our weapon, sword of the Spirit. Almighty God has provided each and every soldier in his army with a sword. That's the good thing. When you join a military operation or a police operation, you normally get a brand new weapon. And boy, 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 don't you want to know how to use that weapon, Brother Ron? Ain't that right? They give you a brand new, Sister Dora, she's been in the military. They give you a brand new M16. They give you a brand new, I think it's a Glock 99 now. A brand new weapon, okay? And I don't know how you all were raised up or about your complete background, but I'll tell you a little about mine. You know about my background, law enforcement and police work and the military, but what I want you to know is that you had to learn your weapon intimately. Intimately. Some people name their weapons like they name their car. Betsy. Oops. Sorry, Liz. That's Liz's nickname. And I always say that. That's a bad habit. Sorry, Liz. I don't mean to call you a weapon. You're not a weapon. But you're dangerous. She's a sweetheart. Whatever you name, call your people name their weapons is what I'm trying to say, because they have that intimate relationship with their weapon. Yep. You've got to learn how to take your weapon apart and put it back together quickly. You got to keep it clean, right? Blindfolded, like Dave said, you got to feel the parts. Okay, you got to know exactly where the firing pin is and break it down and put it back together. You're tested on these things, okay? You have to know what's called the weapon's nomenclature, right? The nomenclature of the weapon. Why does this part work that way and how does it work? Okay? You test it. They take your weapon apart and they say, go, and you got to run and put it back together and fire and make it work. Otherwise, you fail the test. So these are the parts and the action of the weapon assigned to you. Well, the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. See, this all came from God. That's what the military and people that don't know God don't understand. Hey, y'all, man, haven't done a thing. God, this comes from the Bible. It all starts in the Spirit. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Okay? And of course, weapon usage and qualification is no different in the Spirit. God wants his people to be knowledgeable and proficient in the use of his weapons. Am I wrong? Am I right?
That's right.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
Right.
Say it. Okay. I don't know. Don't say it now. Say it later. But tell me. Let me know. Don't interrupt my sermon. But let me know if I'm wrong. Okay? Afterwards. Okay? Because this is the word. We want the truth. Okay?
That's right.
We've got to be proficient in wielding the weapon. This Bible is a weapon. Okay? It's a most potent and proficient weapon. The more you can use it, the more you adept you are at handling this Bible, the more you pull that thing out, quick draw the draw, quick on the word, you know, the less the devil is going to be able to come at you. Okay? You know, you show up and the devil see that on your arm, you come up in there, ooh. Talking to me. I rebuke you. That's what we gotta see, okay? That's what we gotta see, right? This is a powerful weapon in the hands of the right person.
Yes.
You ever seen the shakiest gun in the West with Don Knotts?
Yes.
He pull out his gun and look. I said, draw, stop right there. That's not what we mean. You got to have a steady hand. You got to have hand-eye coordination. God's going to give you all that to aim that weapon and use that baby. Okay? That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Huh? Bottom line, your Bible will serve you adequately as you serve God adequately.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
What you put in it, you get out of it.
That's right. Oh, yes.
You practice shooting, you become a good shot.
That's right.
Yes.
You study the Word of God. You eat it. Then mm-hmm. You're nourished by it. Yes. Okay? That's what we're saying. Tell us, Pastor, so we can put this together. Tell us what it says. This is biblical. 2 Timothy 2:15. See, I'm not making this up. The analogies, yeah, I'll give you a picture. But listen to this and see if it's not true.
2 Timothy 2:15.
What does it say?
2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God.
Amen. When we diligently present ourselves before God, He puts His stamp of approval upon us. Therefore, we don't ever have to be ashamed. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if Pastor Joel's messages are blessing you, let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Are you in need of prayer or encouragement? Please call us at 707-759-5244. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're so thankful for your support. If you haven't had the opportunity to sow a financial seed and have the desire and the means to do so, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website where giving is easy. Simply click on the donate button on our website to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Join us Sundays for live worship services on Facebook or Periscope at 1 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 for prayer and Bible study at 8 p.m. as we walk through the Bible together. Sunday services are also available on YouTube and at SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for the conclusion of Blessed to be Dressed with Pastor Joel Jones. Until next time.